What's going on, guys? John, Anthony, we are back. Chair Shot Sports. Man, has it been a minute? Oh, man, I missed you guys so much. I've missed this microphone. I've missed talking to everybody. We're going to get into all that, talk about everything going on right now in the world of wrestling. But enough with the pleasantries. Let's ring the bell. Let's get down to that ring, and let's get to work. Guys, how you doing? Oh, man. John Anthony here. I think it's probably been about a year since I've talked to you guys. Life has happened. Families happened. Kids have happened. work, obviously, a lot of other stuff. So, unfortunately, I wasn't able to put a lot of time and effort into this podcast. So I know there's still some subscribers out there. I know you guys are... been waiting with bated breath. I've been talking about it on Twitter. If you don't follow us on Twitter, by the way, it's at Chair Shot Sports. Give us a follow. We run a lot of polls there. All the up-to-date news and rumors from everything WWE, AEW, Impact, everything wrestling, and also the world of sports as well. So, that's pretty much it. It's just me riding solo, John Anthony in the big chair. Obviously, we'll have some speakers, some co-hosts, we'll have some guests, when we can, but pretty much just listen to me talk about everything wrestling. So I guess there's really a lot of things to talk about, a lot of things I want to talk about, get off my chest, get out of my head. I mean, obviously, we have SummerSlam a couple days away. We have stuff going on with AEW. We got All In coming up. Obviously, a whole bunch of stuff going on with Vince. That just came out into the news a little bit ago. I want to touch on LA Knight a little bit. I mean, who isn't talking about LA Knight right now? One of the most prolific and amazing superstars rising to the top of the ranks very, very, very quickly with a rocket on his back, which is amazing. I've watched him in other promotions, and if you didn't think that he was going to do this in WWE, then you're fooling yourself because the guy has... I mean, regardless of his age, you can talk to me about how old he is because there's probably 10 or more wrestlers I can talk to that are older than him that are getting that spotlight. But again, I don't want to jump the gun and get ahead of myself and talk about him. But hey, first and foremost, let's start with the biggest thing going on right now is obviously SummerSlam, a couple of days away. Just want to go down the card, give some predictions, talk a little bit about the matches. And go from there. So pretty much, if we want to start kind of, I guess, at the quote-unquote bottom, a lot of these matches, I mean, all nine of them are bangers. I mean, I know they're toting the co-main event status that they've been doing lately. But any of these matches can be co-main events. All of them have great storylines behind them. They've been greatly set up and pushed the right way. Paul's doing a phenomenal job being creative, working the storylines and things like that. So, I guess we'll just start at one. We'll go from there, right? So we'll start with the Shayna and Ronda match. This is probably the best mic work that I've seen from either one of these young ladies since their tenure started here in WWE. Ronda has always looked awkward and weird on a mic, not really knowing what to say unless the crowd reacts to what she wants, what she's trying to say and trying to get across. And to see these little interviews in the back without the crowd around to see how she can present things, it almost gave... I feel like it gave her and Shayna the old school throwback UFC kind of feel to it, where they would just kind of go in the back, film them, and let them kind of talk their trash and them talk about one another and get their digs in and things like that. That's kind of what this was. And the fact that it's a UFC rules match is a great move by Paul and a great move by WWE. And definitely with that, and it's going to get more eyes on that pay-per-view, in my opinion, from some outside WWE fans who follow UFC, who also know the Baszler and the Rousey name, and hear that's going to be a UFC fight style like match. I think that's definitely going to help their buy rates, or I should say buy rates because it's $5 to buy it on Peacock, right? But their views and things like that, I think it's going to up that a lot. I got to go with Shayna on this, and it's strictly because I'll tell you right now, if Ronda wasn't walking out the door and calling it a day, and whether she comes back or not, I would have to maybe go in the direction of Ronda with it being an MMA fight. But I think with Shayna, again, we're going to bring up age here, and I feel like that's going to be the tone of the entire, this episode. And other things I want to talk about. Shayna is in her 40s. So it's like one of those things where it's like, you know, when's the push going to come? WWE is notoriously taking guys and girls and when they're in their late 30s, early 40s, and finally pulling the trigger on them. It's almost like you paid your dues. You know, you're going to be out the door. You got one foot out the door soon, and now we're going to pull the trigger. That you have your title run, have your push, and this and that, which is weird, which is wild in my mind. Why you would just wait that long and keep a talent like that down in stupid gimmicks and stupid storylines, and not showcasing them in like the way they need to be. So I feel like this is finally where Shayna needs to be. This storyline, this match, is kind of where it's a coming out party for her, and I feel like this is kind of where it's kind of, you know, nut up or shut up pretty much for her. I mean, she wins this match, she goes over, we come out of it Monday or Friday, and we're looking at, what are we doing? What title is she going for? She switch a show, you know what I mean? She stay on SmackDown, she pop up on Raw, what are we doing? I mean, Rhea needs great competition, and Rhea seems to be on every damn show on WWE, so it really doesn't matter. So I think Shayna would be a great, great opponent for Rhea. I think that'd really test Rhea. And obviously test Shayna as far as their in-ring ability. So I definitely got Shayna going over in that match. The wild card match that's just thrown together that bounced out the Becky Trish match, apparently, is the SummerSlam Battle Royal. The Slim Jim SummerSlam Battle Royal. Let me get it right. I apologize. This is a no-brainer. If you don't think these guys are reading the dirt sheets, these guys don't know what's going on, and quote-unquote listening to the fans, this Battle Royal was simply put together, and maybe it wasn't coming to fruition on SmackDown. Maybe it was going to be on SummerSlam. Maybe it was going to be on SmackDown. But with it being pushed over to SummerSlam, the sole reason it's going to be pushed to SummerSlam is because this is literally being tailor-made for LA Knight to get a win on the pay-per-view. I'm telling you right now, this is LA Knight, like, leaps and bounds, head and shoulders above everyone else. Have the guy come out first, have him come out last, I don't care. This guy is winning, going home. It's a no-brainer. It's a no question. It's a no contest. This is clearly where they threw it. They're like, oh, crap, what are we going to do? This guy's not on the pay-per-view. He's not going for the U.S. belt. It's backfiring in our face. What are we going to do? Paul scrambling in the back, creative. What are we going to do? And this is what he got. Now you get the Slim Jim SummerSlam Battle Royal move to the main card. Unfortunately, it bumped out Trish and Becky. We'll talk about that a little later. This is obviously a chance for them to have LA Knight go over, get the pop at Ford Field, and get even more of that babyface momentum that he needs. Well, I don't really think he needs it at this point, but to get it in that kind of in that big of a crowd, in that kind of environment, I think that's what he needs. And honestly, honest to God, I think with him winning that Rumble, I think he's going to be interjected into the U.S. title match as a triple threat, and he's going to end up going over. That way, Theory, for whatever Theory has left, because after being buried by Cena at Mania in those promos, I mean, Theory is running on fumes. So whatever he has left, and then Escobar, I mean, is one of your top faces right now on the SmackDown brand. So making it a triple threat, having LA Knight go over, probably going to be go over on Theory. With some kind of, you know, finisher by Escobar, kind of running over, trying to, you know, hitting the blunt force trauma, 1, 2, 3, boom, all good. That way, you know, Escobar saves face. He's still a face. He can go wherever he's got to do. Showing up on NXT this past week, still keeping his momentum. But this is LA Knight going home all day. It's tailor-made for him at this point, and just a spot for him to go over and get that pop and get the momentum going to possibly a title win. Next match, Ricochet and Logan Paul. Hell of a match. This is going to be a banger. You guys got to circle this. Get your bathroom breaks in before. Come down. Make sure you're sitting on your couch watching this. Get your popcorn ready. Get your favorite beverage ready. Preferably a Zoa and Terramana. Sit there. Make sure you watch this match because these guys can go. Logan Paul, for the hate that he gets and just the heel work that he's doing, the guy can go in the ring. I'm sorry. He's leaps and bounds above a lot of other guys that are in the locker room that have been here for a little bit. He's honed in on the craft. He's put in the time. He's put in the effort. You can tell he's dedicated. Paul wouldn't be signing this guy and bringing him in with a second contract if he didn't think that not only, you know, bouncing off of his social media and being just this, you know, this YouTube mongrel and getting those kind of viewerships in just because I'm talking about it on his show and on his social media, the guy can wrestle, and talent wants to work with him. They like working with him. Him and Ricochet had that spot, the Rumble, which was amazing. And it's almost like you could have seen when that happened. Like they saw the reaction. The views on YouTube were amazing. It was on TikTok. Like the replays and the views were out of this world. Just watching those guys jump off a rope and hit in the midair. You could see that they felt that energy even from the crowd that was there at the Alamo Dome. This one's tough. This one's tough because I feel like Logan Paul bit the bullet at Money in the Bank, and maybe the plan is him going over at this at SummerSlam to kind of get that win, get the momentum and go away for a little bit. Maybe probably pop back up at the Rumble, maybe Survivor Series, depending on what's going on. But I'll, make what he did on this past Raw, making it personal with Ricochet, with all those angles going on, Ricochet kind of needing a win right now. I'm gonna go with Ricochet, with Paul still actually, being the part-timer, Ricochet needing this kind of win, getting some kind of momentum. Another guy who's kind of been around for years, hasn't done much, had a cute little tag run with Strowman, and Strowman just is on a milk carton, gone, disappeared. We don't know what's going on with him. So I'm gonna go with Ricochet on this. It's gonna be a hell of a match. Amazing spots. I'm excited for it. It's definitely gonna be good. But Ricochet going over there. Asuka, Bianca, and Charlotte, your triple threat for the one women's match on the, on the card. I'm sorry, you're one of two on the card, for the Undisputed Women's Championship over on SmackDown. This is good. I don't know, man. Charlotte, I mean, whenever Charlotte's involved in a title match after coming back, you kind of want to think that she's going to get the nod. They're going to give it to her and put her over. Bianca, obviously, I mean, I think she's kind of out of the equation. She had her quote unquote historic run, had her time, did her thing, kind of ran a little stale. It was kind of smart to take the belt off of her when they did. So it's kind of just between Asuka and Charlotte. Charlotte was smart, wanted to give back to the business a little bit. I mean, I kind of think this is Asuka's last hurrah. I think she's going to have a very, very good run, a lengthy run. I like this. I like this form of Asuka and her character. A little more development to it, a couple more facets to it. So I have her going over here because I think it's what they need to do for her. Because I think once that belt comes off of her, she's no longer that old Asuka with kind of the funny stuff and the shaking and dancing and talking in Japanese and stuff like that. I think once that belt comes off of her, you might see her go down to NXT, maybe get her switched over onto another brand, get a little more length out of her. But I think after that belt comes off of her, after this run, I think that you might be seeing like the tail end of the Asuka run here in WWE. So probably go back to Japan, finish her career over there, which makes total sense. She's always said she wants to go back. So I have Asuka going over, retaining her championship in this match. So then we come to the big four, the four co-main events. So we'll start with Brock versus Cody. First of all, if you haven't watched the Cody Rhodes documentary on Peacock, I highly suggest it. I highly recommend it. There's a lot of things in there that he experienced in his life that I can relate to, losing a parent, having kids soon after that, and having to deal with that. He's a pretty pretty relatable guy. If you only know him from AEW and WWE, and just as that Cody Rhodes character like that, and you only really know about his old man, Dusty Rhodes, I definitely suggest giving that that documentary a once over. If you're not shedding a tear at some point in those 2 hours, you don't have a pulse. The guy's a hell of a story. It's amazing what he's done and gone through from WWE, AEW, back to WWE. But amazing, amazing stuff. But anyway, back to the match at hand. Brock and Cody, the trifecta. Again, kind of a tough one. I guess that this is the point where I'll kind of talk about the return rumors that we've been hearing about. We've heard about Randy Orton getting jacked up, a lot more muscle on his back, maybe even featuring a new finishing move just to save his back and kind of just have it give himself the longevity that he needs to get through the rest of his career for the things that he wants to do. They've also talked about Bray Wyatt coming back. He's agreed to come back in the Fiend gimmick. So that adds another facet to everything. They've also talked about The Rock. If you guys aren't aware, there's a huge writer's strike, a huge actor strike going on right now between the studios and the actors. They're saying this is they're prepared to go out 6 months for this. So what's someone like Dwayne Johnson doing? Sitting home, working out, drinking Terramana and Zoa, and just hanging out, chilling, working on his XFL game. You know what I mean? Why not come back? Why not strike when the iron's hot? You got Grayson Waller out here calling him out. So you have three possible comebacks. And again, apparently we've reported it again. If you're not following us right now, do give us a follow on Twitter at Chairshot Sports. We reported on this already. The rumors are heavy. I'm not even talking like dirt sheet, like rumors and oh, Bray's going to come back. Cause every PLA, it's always, oh, so-and-so's coming back. So-and-so's going to do this. But the Bray Wyatt rumors are heavy. And the people that we're talking to, for the few people that we have in there, just so you know, too, on a side note, just to get WWE and Paul Levesque, Nick Khan, these guys are doing such a good job of plugging up the holes in their ship. The fines are massive if they find out you're leaking to the dirt sheets. Wrestlers are like threatened with like future endeavors if they're caught doing it. They're doing a great job of really sealing it up. And I appreciate that as a fan, obviously running a podcast and trying to be the first to, you know, put the flag up and, oh, this is what I heard. This is what's going on. It sucks. But as a fan, I appreciate it because I want to be surprised. Damn it. Like I don't want to know what the hell's coming. On that note, let me go back to what I was saying. So they're saying that Bray Wyatt is going to be interfering in the Brock Lesnar, Cody Rhodes match or the Jey Uso or the Roman Reigns match. And I discuss these matches, I'll discuss who I think is going to come back in each match. I got four matches. I got three people. So I'll tell you where I think everything's going. In this match, I got Cody going over. Okay, over Brock. It's just the way it has to be. If you can't see what's going on with Cody, it's the hard times, daddy. It's the Dusty Rhodes hard times gimmick that he rode out until he finally got his big win. Cody's running it too. If you don't agree with me on this, I'm sorry, but him losing at Mania was the right move. It was too easy. You come in at 30 in the Rumble. You go right. You shoot right up to the main event. It was the right move to have him lose. It was good for Roman. It was good for Cody. And Cody needs his character development and, I guess, quote unquote, earning it. And I think it's just going to be even sweeter for him and for the fans when he finally grabs that brass ring. So Cody going over, Brock going away for a while. What I think is going to happen at some point, I don't know if it's going to cost Brock the loss. If maybe Brock goes over and he costs Cody the match. Maybe Brock goes over. But I think Randy interjects himself into this match. And my reasoning for that is, if you haven't noticed, ever since Trips has taken over the storytelling and the creative, he's all about the long-term storytelling. Long-term. And I think that him coming back and attacking Cody circles yourself all the way back, almost 20 years, back to the legacy. And you feed off of that. You know, where the student becomes the teacher, however you want, you know, whatever metaphor you want to use. But I feel like at this point now, Randy comes back to hot, hot heat. Cody, it's going to be tough. I'll tell you that. It's going to be tough because Cody... Randy's going to be so hot as a face to come back, but he's going to have to just try so hard to get over as the heel here. But I think he can do it. Because if anyone can do it, Randy Orton get over as a heel. Whether he's, you know, whatever he's got to do, whatever, however personally he has to make it, whatever he has to do to Cody, he'll get over. And it's going to help Cody. And I think the storytelling between the two of them will be phenomenal and fantastic and make for great, great television. I think that's actually probably what we need right now on Raw, because SmackDown, far leaps and bounds for weeks, has been the A show. Raw's great. They've been a way better job with the 3 hours, but it just doesn't live up to the 2 hours that SmackDown's been putting on. And that's definitely a nod to the Bloodline as well. I mean, when you have the Bloodline storyline, you're automatically going to be the top show, with that kind of drama and that kind of stuff going on. So there's that. Got Cody. We got the RKO return. We'll pick the next one. We got Gunther and we got Drew McIntyre. I think this match is too was premature. I think it's not fair to Drew McIntyre. I got Gunther going over. And if you don't think Gunther's beating Honky Tonk Man's record at this point, you're dreaming. By the time SummerSlam comes, he'll be less than 30 days to break the record. There's no way he's not breaking the record. He hasn't held this long for no reason. Triple H has put an onus on making the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title as strong mid-card titles that when those are held, you have to defend those night in, night out, prove yourself, and get and earn your shot to get into that title picture, that next level, that next run. Austin did it. The Rock did it. Bret did it. All of them, all the great ones did it. So it's sad for Drew. And again, I know he was, you know, again, because according to him, we don't know what was going on as far as contract talks and whatever, money and all that good stuff, and him waiting out for creative. But if the payoff is him coming out of him coming back and jobbing up to Gunther, the match is going to be phenomenal. I mean, there's not a lot of times you get a match where you get two big guys like this throwing it down in the middle of the square circle and just blowing each other away. So I think it's going to be a phenomenal match. Unfortunately, like I said, Gunther's going over in this, and maybe the rematch is down the road at Payback. That's what I'm thinking, because at that point, Gunther will have been now the longest reigning Intercontinental Champion. And probably at that point, maybe elevate him to the world heavyweight picture, which we'll talk about in a little bit when we get to the Seth Finn match, where I think that's going. But it would make sense to kind of have a couple more competitors starting to get into the running for that. But yeah, the only real payoff I can see here is Gunther goes over here. You get a big match. Drew looks great, goes over. However, maybe there's some Imperium interference and I make him look so, you know, not make him look that weak. And then when Payback rolls around, Drew rolls into the ring again against Gunther, puts him down for the 1-2-3, hits him with the Claymore, boom, finally win, you know, wins a title in front of people. Not the big title he wants, but it's a step in the right direction. Holds that belt for, I'm sure, quite a bit of time, maybe even to Mania, if we're being if we're being real about it. Could probably hold that for a while. But yeah, so I got Gunther going over there, retaining his Intercontinental Championship. So we'll do, in my eyes, the co-main event, the Seth Rollins versus the Finn Balor match. I've been telling my close friends that we talk about this all the time, and even some of my colleagues here at Chairshot. And this is probably one of the most hardest matches to even. There's so many angles coming across from everything. I mean, you have the returns, you know, you have Senor, Money in the Bank. There's just on both sides, there's so many ways that they could go with this, and it's wild. I mean, I could sit here for probably one whole hour, one whole show, just talking to you about what they could probably do with all the angles and how they've done this. And it's and I love it. I love it. That's the way it should be. You can't sit there and, oh, Damien's gonna cash in on him. Is he though? Is Seth gonna go over? And then he cashes in, then it causes the rift between Finn. Does Finn win and Damien pins him? And that puts the rift into the Judgment Day that they might finally need for a little bit of a divider and maybe start to split them up a little bit. And in my personal opinion, where I think this is gonna happen, I think this is where you're gonna see Bray Wyatt. And the reason I think that's going to happen is I think the way this is going to work, if I was booking this in the way I think, again, how I think it's going to happen as a prediction, I think Finn, the Fiend makes his return. It's going to be Bray in the Fiend mask. It's got to be. The huge pop, the Ford Field is the roof is going to go off the place. All right. I think he comes for Seth, costs Seth the title, Finn wins. Whether there's a cash in or not, I'm not even going to really speak on that. I mean, it could go. I don't think that they're going to pull the trigger that quick. I think they're going to run with, if Finn's the champion, I think you're going to run the tension where he's down and out, and the camera goes to Priest. He's looking at Finn. He's looking at the briefcase. Looking at Finn. Looking at Priest. I mean, looking at the briefcase. Kind of just like, should I? Should I? Should I? And run that tension for a couple months, and maybe it happens at Payback. Maybe it runs all the way to Survivor Series. But Fiend comes back because I think we can all agree the worst match in the past few years that we can all talk about is the Hell in a Cell match between Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt. Wyndham has come out and talked about it. Seth has come out and talked about it. They both hated the match. If you've watched the Broken Skull sessions with Steve Austin and Seth has told you. I mean, he almost came to blows with the chairman. He didn't like the way it was booked. It was trash, and I think those two going at it, and the great thing about it is this is why it's so Seth is such a phenomenal character and such a phenomenal wrestler because he's never really a face or a heel. He's neutral. He's very neutral. Yes, I get it. People come out, he sings the music. There's still some boos. There's still some boos. Some people don't like Seth Rollins. He's over the top. He's obnoxious, arrogant, everything. Some people still don't like him. And that's fine. But the majority, they do like him. Now, all of a sudden, guess what happens? You bring back the Fiend. Your hope is here. The Fiend becomes a top face. Obviously, you're going to bank on your merch, things like that. Seth can go back and become, he can just fall back into that heel mode. Because he's been a face pretty much holding the title all this time. So that's where I kind of see that going down. It makes sense for him to come back and him and Seth, because if Bray comes back, Bray and Seth go and have their thing. They go away. That takes Seth away from the title picture for now. And then that leaves it over here with Finn, over with Damian. And again, Gunther's gonna lose to Drew. It's one of those things where Gunther is could make a play to Finn, and Gunther's gonna if Gunther destroys Finn, but Finn still wins, that could be a cash in. Again, that's another episode down the road. Talking about the Money in the Bank implications. That's what we're gonna talk about after SummerSlam. That's the post SummerSlam episode. But I have Seth going over here. But I do have the Fiend making an appearance, making his presence known, and definitely starting a new and fresh rivalry with Seth freaking Rollins. So we've come to it, the main event. Roman Reigns, the tribal chief, the head of the table, the only one against the right-hand man, Jey Uso. Main event, Jey Uso. Personally, I can tell you right now, I wish Jey was winning this. I think his mic work has gotten better. And that's only going to get better once they put the title on him. He's got to just get the reps, get the time going out there, talking, get the live events, give him a mic, have him talk. Roman's winning this. Roman's winning this. I'm sorry. All roads lead to WrestleMania 40. No pun intended. I don't think it's going to be against Cody anyway, but all roads lead to WrestleMania 40. This guy is, he is in, he's got a laser lock on the third longest title reign of a WWE superstar, and he's coming for Hogan. I think it's going to be an amazing match, just a banger, a straight up brawl. The tribal rules is just the tribal combat rules is just going to be phenomenal. I'm hoping that it's obviously not going to be clean, being no DQ with Solo being involved, obviously probably being at ringside. But in some way, shape, or form, from what I'm hearing, Roman is not booked for the next three PLEs. He's not booked even for Survivor Series. So that means you don't see him until the Rumble. I mean, I don't know what they're going to run in December. I don't think they've announced what that pay-per-view is going to be yet, unless they go back to an Armageddon. I haven't heard that yet. But if he doesn't get back to the Rumble, that's 3 months of no Roman. So what exactly has to happen to Roman to go away for 3 months? And I think this right here is where you enter Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I think this is where Dwayne is going to make his presence felt. And it's weird because you would think if I'm saying Dwayne is going over, I'm sorry, if Dwayne is making an appearance, then Jay would go over because obviously he'd come down, he'd give Roman the rock bottom, boom, one, two, three, Jay wins. Here you go, everyone's happy. And maybe that is the case. Maybe I should go with Jay Uso. Dwayne comes down, doesn't like the things that Roman has said. comes down, beats the hell out of Roman, sends Roman away for a few months, and then boom, maybe they come back at the Rumble. But some way, shape, or form, The Rock is going to be involved in this match. It's been heavily he's going to be in the area that weekend, non-wrestling related. It's not a coincidence. Of course, all the only one that you can sign, seal, and deliver is Bray Wyatt. Randy, whether it's swerve tactics or not, they're saying, oh, it's not SummerSlam, but it's definitely soon after. That's probably to throw you off the scent. And then The Rock, obviously, Dwayne will probably fly in and halfway through SummerSlam on his private jet and get ushered and get shuttled in. So he's nowhere near the arena for people looking for him. Well, people are already in there, you know what I mean? Yeah, but I have Roman going over. And but I think, yeah, I just think Dwayne's gonna make an appearance, however way, shape, and form it's there, but it's gonna happen, whether it's against Roman or maybe it's for Roman, and Rock comes down for a little while, uber heel. But also you have the Grayson Waller effect. He his the fact that Rock, whether he does or does not get involved in the Roman match, and I'm way off on that, the man is gonna make an appearance. There's just no way that Grayson would be going this far out with the people's elbow, the people's eyebrow, copying his, using his catchphrases, calling him out on the social media. It started on there, but just everything he's been doing toward The Rock. There's no way, shape, or form, especially what's going on right now in Hollywood. There's no movies being made. The Rock has nothing going on. He's just sitting at home. Before it was all about, oh, my schedule, my schedule. You have nothing going on now, homie. You're just sitting at home doing nothing. Why not come back? Why not get the pop, get the money, get the payday, and let's give Waller the rub. You know what I mean? So that's how I see it going down the line. It's unfortunate that we don't get Trish and Becky. I can see the frustration on both ladies' ends. Probably more so Becky than Trish. This is probably Trish's swan song. This match is probably her go home. After that, kind of finishes the story. And Becky goes over, wins her thing, moves on to bigger and better things. The only thing I find kind of funny about this whole thing is people were talking down and just not, they weren't about this whole storyline with Trish and Becky. And then all of a sudden it gets pulled from SummerSlam, and now all of a sudden we're up in arms and we're having a big hubbadoo about it. And now there's reports come out about tension and people being upset in the women's locker room about how the division is being handled. Listen, the division is nice and well in Paul's hands, and I'm sure Shawn Michaels is a little bit of his hand in it as well. They've always been about the women. I think Rhea not being on the pay-per-view defending that belt is an issue. I mean, that's kind of where I see that. I think she's starting to look a little bit weak with that belt, not defending it. It's almost she's getting the Romanitis. I'm gonna come around, talk about how great I am, but I'm not defending against anybody. I know her and Gonzalez were supposed to go at it, or Rodriguez, my apologies. We're supposed to go at it at SummerSlam, but then they did the whole knee angle on Raw to write that off. So again, that's probably a payback pay-per-view match. So yeah, I mean, rumors are saying, I mean, from what I'm hearing, Paul is very, very meticulously making sure every match gets its proper time and taking off these women matches. I mean, obviously you're leaving Shayna and Ronda, which is going to be a phenomenal match, and you have the triple threat, which is great. But I really think people want to see they want to see the Becky Trish factor. They want to see him out here wrestling. So that's how I have it. That's how I see it. Guess we'll see what happens in a couple of days of SummerSlam. But yeah, okay, quick break. We'll be right back, and then we'll get into some more issues. Just talking about Vince, kind of the state of wrestling, and a little more LA Knight. Yeah. All right, guys, welcome back. Chair Shot Sports. Just went over. We covered our SummerSlam predictions. A couple other things we want to dive into for today. One of the biggest things that I want to talk about, I wanted to cover is the new allegations and the new evidence, quote unquote, that has surfaced in the past couple of days. Regarding one chairman, Mr. Vincent Kennedy McMahon. As many of you know, back in June of 2022, Vince retired amongst allegations of improper behavior with women and divas on the roster, NDAs, money being paid out, hush money, the whole nine, everything. So the guy walked away. It was a black eye for the company. It was a black eye for wrestling, to be perfectly honest with you, as someone in that, running a company that with these kind of allegations on them, they've had to just kind of walk away. So it kind of, the FCC kind of loosened up, I guess, and kind of just didn't look the other way. But he left. So we got what we wanted in the long run. Since then, Vince has made a, I guess you can call it, triumphant return if you talk to him about it. Ari Emanuel reached out to him. Those two talked. Eli Emanuel is the president over at UFC, or was the president over at UFC, working with, or CEO, I should say. Dana White is the president over at UFC. He reached out, him and Vince got together and decided to form the soon-to-be completed company called Endeavor, which is UFC and WWE combined, which has Ari as the overseeing CEO of the entire company, and Vince McMahon being the executive chairman of WWE and of Endeavor as well. So of course, I mean, if you watch TV, you read internet, you read Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, if you haven't followed us, we've talked about this before and elaborated on it a couple times and some of the things that have come out. Follow us on Twitter at ChairShot Sports. Seemingly, it looks like that there's more allegations coming out about Vince. He was served with a subpoena earlier in the week by the FCC. That's kind of a big deal. When it's coming from the FCC and not just some law enforcement or anything like that, that's a big deal. They're coming for blood. They want him out of there. The FCC definitely doesn't want any of that kind of stuff going on and their names being linked to it. If you didn't know, or if you haven't heard, unfortunately, Mr. McMahon did go undergo back surgery about 3 weeks ago, extensive spinal surgery, around June 20th, June 21st, and has been quote unquote out of commission since. I mean, he still has final say on a lot of things in WWE. He's still the end all be all. I would imagine having spinal surgery, not being able to do much. I'm sure it's all through text messages and phone calls, not being on site. That's what he leaves to Nick and to Paul. But I guess what I'm trying to get at here is to talk about and kind of just brainstorm and throw my ideas around. One, I don't understand how he was ever let back in. I understand the board members left when he came back. They brought people in. They voted because it was people that were in his pocket. The funny thing to me is, why is it rearing its ugly head now? What happened? We were past this. We were over it. But as you can, but like I alluded to earlier, the Endeavor deal isn't done yet. It's going to be finalized sometime, I believe, in October, I want to say, possibly 2024. The FCC has to go through everything, which is why the FCC has to approve the sale, which is why when you circle this back and the FCC is hitting him with subpoenas and trying to do investigations, it all seems a little bit fishy. And by fishy, I mean, I believe that in the WWE at headquarters, whether it be on the board of directors, whether it be his close-knit confidants or his little circle, or even talent, there's a mole. There has to be a mole. There has to be. Somebody has more information on Vince and the going-ons that happened back in 2018, 2019, 2020, when all this happened, which led to him retiring in the first place. There has to be a mole. So I'm gonna give you two of the names off the top of my head. Stephanie McMahon, his own daughter. When as soon as Vince was voted back onto the board, Stephanie withdrew herself from the company, quoting the whole being a stay-home mom, all this other stuff. And I love Stephanie McMahon. On screen, off of screen, as a person running the company, things were going great when her and Paul were in charge. The morale was amazing. People were coming back to the company. People wanted to work with the company. My number one with a bullet is Stephanie McMahon. And as messed up as that sounds, Stephanie, I mean, being a mom, they have three girls together, her and Paul, having three girls, being a mom, being a female, being his daughter. She's got to know the things that have happened. You don't think these divas, these ladies, reached out to Stephanie and were like, "Steph, listen, I don't want to be that person, but this is what's going on. I don't know what to do." And Stephanie was sitting there with her hands tied. Finally, Vince walks away. Okay, maybe we can get some kind of closure here. Comes back, and now Stephanie's like, "Oh, what am I gonna do now? I can't be a part of this. I can't do this. Well, they're investigating my father. I can't stand for this." So she walks away. Things are going down. The Endeavor sale's coming up. Well, someone just pushes the coins over the edge a little bit. Drops a couple dimes. Kind of goes all Tony D on him. Gives the dirt up. Drops some documents on him, and all of a sudden the FCC's got a subpoena and searching the headquarters and searching his house. And the funny thing about this whole thing is, if you haven't done any research about it, when the Endeavor deal went down, it came out, there was a little article about it. It was a blip, but it was there because people were asking. There is a clause in the contract regarding Vince McMahon and his behavior. The exact clause isn't known, but those close to the situation that were close to the people who were part of the writing of the contract stated that if there's any kind of conduct that's detrimental to the outlook for Endeavor, UFC, WWE, anything like that, or even like the not even just the actual act of doing something, but just bringing a bad light to the company in general. Because that UFC doesn't need this hit. UFC's about to dump billions of dollars into the WWE. They are a very successful entity over there. Dana White had his cancel moment, earlier in the year with his wife. They got past that. They rose above it. They're good. They don't need this going on. But the clause pretty much states if there's something that he does wrong, he can be let go from his position. No questions asked. And if you write it all down on paper and you line up and you circle everything and you line it all up and connect the dots, there's somebody knows what they're doing. And with the FCC being so readily involved when they're about to close the deal on these two entities making one giant conglomerate sports company, it's no surprise the FCC is involved. My other one has got to be, I got to think Triple H is involved. Paul Levesque, the guy, the rumors have been coming out for months now, ever since Vince came back, that there's tension. Obviously he came back and he's letting Paul have the reins. I'm sorry, have full control, but with reins on him. They're back to doing the rewrites. They're back to pulling matches, making matches 15 seconds long, pulling certain talent off. We haven't seen Johnny Gargano. We haven't seen certain people like Loomis. We haven't seen any the way he was supposed to make a comeback. If you didn't know, clearly with the way they were setting that up, that went away because Vince wasn't a fan of that. That's why all of them got let go. So it's one of those things where maybe even Nick Khan did it. Nick for a long time has been thought of as the heir apparent. If it's not Steph, if Steph has gone away from the kingdom, if there's no princess, if there's no there's no one to be a queen, there's got to be a king. And unfortunately, it's not going to be Paul. I mean, he has a couple. I mean, down he has a couple strings down, but Nick is the heir apparent if Vince leaves. If you have to name a president of operations or a CEO, it's going to be Nick Khan. And at that point, Stephanie comes back. Stephanie fills in Nick Khan's role as the co-CEO, as the COO, and then Paul reverts back to his position as the CCO. And then, follow it as you may, wherever Shawn Michaels falls in and wherever else their hierarchy is in the board of directors. But I'm telling you, there's a mole. There's somebody in there that's trying to keep this guy out, doesn't want him in. And I'm not going to lie to you, for wrestling wise, the guy needs to go. I've been watching wrestling. I'm going to be 39 in a couple months. So for 34 years, I've been watching wrestling. I've seen it all, the Attitude Era, everything, the wars. The 14 era, the PG era, and now where we are now. And he's out of touch. there's been so many talents that are either too old at this point or have left and gone to AEW, over to New Japan, over to Impact, or just retired and just go back to the Indies, that have been so misused, had so much potential and such a knack for storytelling that would have been amazing on our screens on a weekly basis, that were just thrown away and just misused, taken advantage of, and just tossed to the side when Black Monday came after WrestleMania, when it came time for budget cuts, which is a shame, which is a shame. Maybe there's talent. Maybe there's some talent that have left. Eric Young has been one big guy who has been a proponent of, when he found out Vince was back, he asked for his release, was granted it by Paul. Didn't want anything to do with Vince. There's a couple, I know they've talked about, there's some divas in the back that when their contract's up, they want out if Vince is around. They don't even want to be around him. That's why, obviously, the internet talks and everyone, oh, Vince had a part of this. Vince is the reason for this. Vince isn't there as much as you think he is. He's an uncomfortable presence. He does a lot of things per text messages and phone calls and things like that and FaceTimes. He doesn't really come around a lot. He's more in that upper echelon of the office work and doing the executive branch kind of work for the company, which is what he's supposed to be doing. He's not supposed to be getting his hands and talents into creative, but we all know Vince McMahon, and he just can't leave well enough alone, and he has to get involved. Has to have his mark somewhere, shape, and form, every week, every PLE. So, but yeah, I mean, it could be a lot of people, but for me, if I had to sit here and tell you, if I had to guess, I would imagine that it's Steph that kind of wants her dad out of there. She wants to get back in. Her and Paul running it was amazing. For the 7 8 months that it was there for before he came back with Endeavor. That's where I'm at. But feel free to reach out to me on Twitter, at Chairshot Sports. Let me know what your thoughts are. I think Vince was great for business, and at this point, I think it's going to be a Paul and Stephanie and Nick Khan conglomeration and collaboration, I should say, and have them going forward. And I just think for the morale and what's best for business moving forward, storyline wise and TV wise. Taking them into the next era, if you will, of wrestling. I think those three are the ones to do it. So, that being said, take another quick break. We'll come back and talk about the state of wrestling. Oh man, let that breathe, man. One of the better themes of Jim Johnson's career. All right, guys, John Anthony here, back with Chair Shot Sports. All right, so we've covered our SummerSlam predictions. We talked a little bit about the Vince McMahon issues with him coming back, interjecting himself as the executive chairman of WWE. I kind of wanted to. I've been away for a while. If you follow us on Twitter at Chairshot Sports, we're not a pro WWE. We're not a pro AEW. We don't shun away from Impact or even New Japan. We talk about all kinds of wrestling. I guess the biggest thing that I've seen in my time away and watching the business and watching all these shows, and it's sad to see the fracture of wrestling fans. Growing up as someone who I was around, I was around for the Attitude Era. I was there for the Monday Night Wars. I'd go to school and I'm crotch chopping guys while they're over there giving themselves a too sweet symbol. You know what I mean? For the NWO. But nobody sat there and really said, like, either show is inferior. Everyone watched both. So it's so weird. It's so wild to me to watch this now and to see, like, I'm gonna be straight up, the hate that people have, whether you're AEW, whether you're WWE, it shouldn't be like that. Let me explain what I mean by that. So again, someone that, boomer, yeah, someone being, I'm almost 40 years old, or right? I've again, I've said it a couple times. I've been through all the eras where we are now. Wrestling was in a rut for a while in the 2000s, late 2000s, maybe like 2008, 2009. I mean, you hit the you had the ruthless aggression era. You had that, but really, once that kind of started to fade away, it's been a long time. And obviously, it was stagnant. Impact and TNA, whatever you want to call it, was trying to come up and get their, get their comeuppance, trying to have their place at the table. Didn't happen. I mean, AEW coming around was great. It took them a while. They've finally gotten off the schneid. They're kind of the ball, their ball's kind of getting a little more momentum. Their tires are in, they're on the track. They're starting to catch up a little bit. The thing with me is, I mean, obviously the IWC, Internet Wrestling Community, for those of you that don't know, has always been, you've heard people call them the nerds, the people living in their mom's basements, things like that, the uneducated. There's a lot of other terms I won't use here on my podcast. We try to keep it family friendly. But it's one of those things, if you read it, it's almost the one thing I can say about AEW fans. And again, I'm not trying to offend anybody, please. By listening to this segment, don't listen to this and say, oh my God, this guy loves John Anthony, loves WWE. Just because I wrestled for him doesn't mean that I'm in with them. Okay. I'm not in bed with them. Okay, I watch AEW every week, just like I watch Raw and SmackDown and NXT. All right, I watch Collision. I don't really watch Rampage a lot, but I do watch Collision. I watch Dynamite. I check up on the results for Rampage. I get the pay-per-views for AEW, which suck because I got to pay actual money like I did back in the day when I was a teenager and get my three friends to come over so we could all split it at my house instead of paying the $5 on the cock. The AEW fan. You guys just keep moving the goalpost. There's no set line in the sand where you're willing to get, say, you know what? Damn, WWE did do it better, does do it better. Wow, they really are head and shoulders above when it comes to this. It's just a constant moving the goalpost and just finding ways to work, finding the workaround to always try to make AEW seem like the better brand or the better company. Will they be in the next 25 to 30 years? I don't know. WWE's been around for 50 years. So, and it goes back again, I'll real quick, I'll bring up the again, if you haven't seen it, the Cody Rhodes documentary. I'm not getting paid to talk about it, so don't worry. But it was a very, very well-made production. Peacock did an amazing job. WWE Productions did an amazing job. But this whole controversy right now, it's the topic. I mean, it's the topic going on that with Paul Levesque calling AEW a second tier promotion, a second rate promotion. I got a big news flash for AEW fans. You are. AEW is second rate. You heard it right here on Chair Shot Sports. When I say that, let me elaborate and to explain to you what I mean by that. You are second rate. Because you are nowhere near WWE in fun, in money's made, in their global encompass of the globe, and what they put out as far as the talent they do have on their roster, and what they do outside of with their live events. You're second tier, meaning you're not there yet. Tony Khan is probably one of the most triggered individuals that I've ever seen in a position of power running something. He's very knee-jerk. See something on the internet. Let's throw a rebuttal out, or let's throw shade. Let's make a cute little comment on AEW on Dynamite on Wednesday night. Let's say something cute on our pay-per-view. Let's say something cute on Twitter when we're ramping up our shows. The one time that Triple H has AEW in his mouth and makes a true statement, you guys go nuts. Guys and girls, I apologize, because females are very much wrestling fans on on both sides, AEW and WWE. And I wanted to talk about this, and I hope when you're listening to this, whether you're one or the other, you understand what I'm trying to say and get across here. Wrestling is booming right now. In 2023, in August of 2023, you have two legitimate promotions with star-studded rosters, deep rosters. All right? Both promotions are putting out three shows a week. At least one PPV, PLE, whatever promotion you follow, a month at least. Okay? Be happy. Enjoy it. If you don't like WWE, don't watch WWE. You want to call them the tribal chump? That's great. Don't watch WWE. Stick with AEW. Watch the MJF and Adam Cole storyline. Absolutely. Stay with your Christian, your Luchasaurus storyline. Absolutely. But hey, listen, turn the coin around. If you're a WWE guy and you don't like AEW, don't effing watch it. Stick to the Bloodline. Stick to the Tribal Chief. Stick to your Seth frickin' Rollins. Stick to Gunther. You know what I mean? Stick to what you know. Stick with NXT. All right, and NXT, in my mind, aside from Raw, SmackDown, Collision, Dynamite, is one of the most right now up-and-coming promotions and brands right now in wrestling. And again, everyone's going to look at me and go, what are you talking about? No, it's not. Everyone has an opinion, and I love that. That's the great thing about wrestling. And yes, we know it's fake. For anyone else out there, we know it's fake. It's predetermined, okay? But the drama and what these guys put into it when they bring their characters onto the screen every week is amazing. The physiques and the agility and just the overall demeanors of the wrestlers that are coming up from the PC and WWE are amazing. And I don't know if AEW has a stomping ground or if they have I think that's what Dark was. I'm not sure. I know it was a YouTube thing. I'm not sure if that's what Dark was or if that's what Rampage is. I know they throw a lot of new guys out on their regular shows. But whatever AEW is doing too, that's great as well. I have some problems with how they're booking All In. I'm going to talk about that on our post SummerSlam episode next week. But I'm not going to get into all that right now. I don't want to get away from the point I'm trying to get across is, everyone's just got to get along. Like, there's so much I've seen on, I have a lot of, we have over 3,000 followers on Twitter. And I see the people that are pro WWE that don't like AEW, and that's fine. Okay. But people, you know, I saw one tweet today for an example, and I'm not going to talk about who it is or whatever, just for, you know, anonymity reasons, but just, you know, F you and spit on you and go light your house on fire over a wrestling take. Now I know that's one like individual isolated incident, but never, I cannot remember. And I got a pretty damn good memory. And when I was growing up, I didn't like ECW and I was like, you know, F the NWO. No one came wanting to burn my house down. Cause I watched WWE and I liked Mick Foley winning the championship. You know what I mean? Like it's so wild nowadays how deep it goes. As wrestling fans, I don't know if you know this, all right? I go to conventions. I've met so many wrestlers and had the privilege of meeting so many legends, people that are wrestling nowadays. We're looked at in a different light. I hope everyone knows that. You know, I get it. I run a restaurant, and my staff knows that I'm big into wrestling. I get crap from them. I mean, obviously in a jovial kind of heart loving kind of joking way, but it's, you know, we're looked at as weird. All right. And that's never going to change. The wrestling fan is such a unique kind of person with such a dichotomy of personality to understand that we're watching something. It's like weekly watching a movie, knowing it's scripted, but can't wait to see what the ending is because we have no idea what it's going to be. And personally, it's just, there's so much other stuff going on in this world. You know, politics and what have you. Okay. When I sit down in front of my TV Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, those 6 days is a refuge. It's my time to get away from reality. I put everything away. I pour my favorite adult beverage, which is Terramana and Zoa. And I just get to escape and just put myself in that mode of listening to these guys and watching these guys take me to a place that's not real, but it is to me. And I'm not trying to get weird about it or make it like almost like a romance. But if you love wrestling, you love wrestling. And if someone doesn't like wrestling, they think we're idiots. They think we're weird. They think we're stupid. And I know every single person listening to this right now, sitting there going, man, yeah, you know what? Yeah, actually, people look at me kind of weird when I wear my wrestling shirt or I walk around my title belt or I get all hyped up when I hear Cody Rhodes' music on the radio or I hear something. You all know I'm right. So I guess I want to take this time. I've been away for a while, but I wanted to be an advocate and I wanted to put a PSA out here in one of the first episodes back that I think we all need to we all need to heal. Okay. I think we all need to come together as fans. Like what you like, watch what you watch. You don't have to like everything out there. But damn it, respect the guy next to you that watches the same thing you watch because it's all the same. And let me tell you something, on another level, as someone as a podcaster, I have connections, in the business, here and there with both companies. These wrestlers are laughing, not at us. But you don't think these guys read what's on the dirt sheets and they laugh. Half of them are dating each other. Half of them are all friends. What's the big thing happened recently? It's the Elite just signed all everyone in the Elite just signed long-term contracts or I'm sure multi-year deals with AEW. One, why the hell wouldn't you if you're Tony Khan? That's your foundation. Those are your true pillars. Though, I mean, hell, they're the EVPs. Okay, you're Omega, you got the brothers and you have Hangman. All right. So I and then people are coming across saying, oh, Triple H dropped the ball, guy's a loser. They wouldn't fit in here in WWE because Omega has that almost strong style-esque wrestling style. People here in WWE don't get that. They don't get Nakamura. They don't get how he wrestles. They don't know what strong style is. A lot of people don't watch New Japan. All right. I could sit here for another 45 minutes and just tell you like why a casual wrestling fan watches what they watch, and that's why they talk down on another promotion, because that's what they think they're supposed to do. Then there's people like me, and I'm sure a lot of other people that are listening to this right now, very well versed in a lot of the promotions that have been around a lot of the wrestlers. Meaning like seeing different styles and how they do things. I'm just very passionate about this because I see I meet a lot of wrestling fans at a lot of conventions I go to, a lot of signings I go to, and it's so refreshing to sit there and talk to someone in the like mindset of wrestling and being able to share that excitement and that passion with somebody. Whereas I know, like I said, everyone out here listening to this can attest to this. Try explaining wrestling to somebody and like, wait, what? Well, why doesn't, well, I, well, why didn't the ref see that? He was right there. Those kind of things. You know what I mean? The parts that we don't look, the parts that we turn a blind eye to enjoy the story. So I don't want to get too far on a tangent down a different trail, but really what I wanted to say was, this is the best wrestling that we've had since the 90s, in my opinion. You're not, this is, listen, AEW is not WCW. Eric Bischoff isn't walking through that door. Okay, it's Tony Khan. If I had to give you an honest assessment, and that's what I wanted to do here, if you go back to the first episode, when you're listening to this, hopefully subscribe to us on Spotify, go back to the first episode. And me and the mic were talking about this. And so it's on record. It was a couple years ago. I said, Tony's going to run into a problem by it was right when the rumors are coming around about him signing CM Punk and Bryan Danielson. I said, Tony's going to have a very hard time putting all these guys on TV, no matter how many shows he gets. This is too much talent, too much star power, and he's not going to know what to do. And I was right. I am right. And I guess, again, I'll kind of lead into what I want to talk about in my post-SummerSlam episode and kind of pre-all in is why is Tony Khan going out and signing RVD for a one-off match against Jack Perry? When you have plenty of wrestlers in the back to make a storyline. Yeah, I get it. Jerry Lynn and ECW. I get the whole thing. But what are we doing here? What are you doing here? Where's Miro? Is Miro on the card? Where's Andrade? Andrade's fighting for a mask on a pole matches? At the end of the day, if you want an honest opinion, I feel like Tony Khan is sitting there in a back room watching the Monday Night Wars. Because if you're an honest fan, whether you like AEW or WWE, especially AEW, if you're an honest AEW fan, let me talk to you guys for a second. Let me talk to your fan, the fan base there. If you guys are honest with yourselves and you watch AEW, if you can't sit there and tell me that maybe 35 to 40% of the storylines and or goings on there aren't from past WWE storylines, you're kidding yourself. You're lying to yourself. And you just don't want to admit it. But there's nothing wrong with that. WWE rehashes old storylines all the time. Okay? The Adam Cole MJF storyline is clearly, not clearly, but some of the things they were doing in the storyline were from Rock and Mankind. Go back and watch the Rock Mankind segments. They had at least four or five vignettes when they were going to win the titles because they were awkwardly paired together. That's what they were doing. The video games, the restaurant stuff, it was all the same. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But be able to admit it. If RVD walked out on WWE television next week and was going to a match at Payback, what would the AEW fans say about WWE? They're holding on the veterans, using the old guys to get buys, and leaving a younger talent in the back. What the hell are we doing bringing RVD in over at All In? For what, a couple bucks? And I get it. Tony's in a whole different echelon where he has to get buys. If you own the cock, like on your PlayStation or on your phone for $5, yeah, you get to watch a pay-per-view. So it's they don't it's not you don't need the big star power. You got the Logan Pauls, you're good. You can run with your card. So I get what Tony, the kind of predicament that he's in. But RVD, okay, what are we doing here? For one match? Like that could have easily been filled with another talent to build a storyline. Hell, you could have had him fight Christian to get to Luchasaurus. You know what I mean? Well, they're both heels now, which that kind of wouldn't make sense. So I'll correct myself on the fly. That wouldn't make sense because they're both heels now. But you could have done some stuff where he could have faced somebody, and now, and it's for the F. Why is RVD in a match for the FTW belt? Like, what is it? What is this? Some kind of swan song for RVD? Is RVD's going to win it and retire it? I don't know. But again, I digress. That was the AEW fan base. Let me look over here to the WWE fan base. You guys need to shut up. I'm serious. I'm WWE first, but I'm also an AEW fan because I appreciate wrestling. I like all facets of it. But if you're a WWE fan, shut your mouth. You're like the Patriots of wrestling. You're winning every year, okay? WWE just dropped their quarterly numbers. $410 million in one quarter, 51% up on live events. Every PLE that's been shown has garnered a new high in some region somewhere in the globe. Like, you guys are always winning. WWE is the king, and that's why AEW is secondary. But when you say secondary, I don't mean in a derogatory term. I mean you are second place. You are second place. You're not first. And what I say all that to come back around and close the circle where Tony Khan is such a knee-jerk guy and has to like have the last laugh in his head and think he's sticking it to the man. Now all of a sudden, we're gonna call All In the greatest wrestling event ever because what you sold out Wembley. First of all, Europe, anything in Europe or the UK is a hotbed for wrestling. If WrestleMania went over to the UK or in England or London, they'd easily probably do like they'd probably do 100 something thousand, 300, 400,000, wherever the hell they put it. First of all right, so you have it just gets me that like and the thing is I think Tony Khan feeds into that and he likes the rivalry, but this isn't the way it happened. This isn't the way the Monday Night War started with ECW. Bischoff was creative enough and met Vince at the wall and creatively and got the right kind of talent and beat us in the ratings. And that's the other thing I want to talk about as far as moving the goalpost. First, it was the demo. I'm sorry, first it was the ratings. WWE took that. Now it's the demo. Now WWE's starting in the demo. Now we're starting to talk about Collision getting a higher rating than NXT, which is wild to me because I didn't know you could compare two shows on two different nights. You're on a Saturday night where there's nothing playing. First of all, enjoy that because once college football comes and things like that, you guys are screwed. But if that was the thing, Bishop Eric took the fight to WWE and got his ass kicked week after week after week after week after week every Monday night, and finally found it, found what he needed to catch lightning in a bottle and eclipse Vince on Monday nights and then keep it going. This whole Tuesday night thing with NXT and it just, listen, you can't brag about beating the developmental brand. You can't. That's not a win. I don't care if NXT won or if AEW won. That's not a win. You're beating, that's a third tier. Take Dynamite, okay? Get your good roster, because it's clearly a soft brand split with what Tony's trying to do with Collision and Dynamite, whether it has to do with CM Punk or not. Take Dynamite, put that shit on Monday, take Collision, put that shit on Friday, and write it to the damn ground, okay? The only way AEW isn't going to be looked at as a quote-unquote secondary promotion is by punching WWE in the mouth and overtaking them in ratings on their flagship shows. Beating them at NXT, selling out Wembley for one night doesn't make you anything. What are you doing the other 364 days out of the year? But with all that being said, I just feel like we all need to support each other as wrestling fans. And this is some weird PSA, like kumbaya thing. I'm saying wrestling is booming right now, and we should all just be enjoying any wrestling on at any time of night, any time of day. And I don't want to sit here and, for those of you that watch Impact, I watch Impact too. Impact has a long way to go, but they have some really good stars as well. They have some really good storylines. They just kind of gotta get their stuff together. They have a lot of retreads on their roster, so it's tough. But if they were to ever grab like five or six or seven guys, free agents, and throw some money at them, they could definitely be something. But so all that being said, I hope you guys all take that with a grain of salt and kind of take it to heart. We're gonna take one more break, come back, talk a little about the LA Knight phenomenon. Talk to you on the flip side. Let me talk to you, John Anthony, Chair Shot Sports. We've gone over SummerSlam. We've talked about Vince. We had a conversation about AEW versus WWE. Kind of want to wrap it up talking about one of the hottest, biggest megastars that WWE is looking at right now, and that's LA Knight. Yeah. It's just so funny to me. Like, again, if it's you're someone that's watched wrestling and you've seen this guy in different forms. If I asked you 5 years ago who Eli Drake is, you'd be like, who? Yeah. Who? Dummy. Yeah. Like, you wouldn't know who that was. But this guy was out here cutting promos, being hilarious as hell, just like he is on WWE TV. But the biggest thing to me is, I guess, when he got signed, he got brought in, was when he was in NXT, before they brought him up to do this whole Dupree manager skit and that whole debacle. It was funny, like, you knew he was gonna be good, and he had his, his run with Grimes, getting the rub from the Million Dollar Man, getting the Million Dollar Championship, getting the call up, and it was almost he got called up here, and it was like, why'd we call him up? And now he's not doing much. Does the Max Dupree? Does that gimmick that flops on a group or a faction that was never going anywhere? So clearly Vince had no faith and saw nothing with this guy going forward. So okay, Vince goes, whatever. Vince leaves, retires, and here comes Trips. And he's like, you know what? We might have something with this guy. Flip him back to the LA Knight style, get him going, get the wheels going, get some traction, and now. I mean, not for nothing. I know it's one of his catchphrases, but the guy's a megastar. He's one of the hottest. He's going in WWE right now. And I've heard the rumblings. I've seen the things on the internet, especially on Twitter. If you're not following us, by the way, it's at Chair Shot Sports. Oh, He's a Rock knockoff. Nope, that's Ricky Starks. He's an Austin ripoff. Nope, not even close. Does barely anything Austin does. Rock and Austin hybrid? Maybe. I'll maybe give you that. But Knight has said that those two guys were the key catalysts in him wanting to be a wrestler. But the funny thing to me is, like, everywhere I look now, there's LA Knight. He's everywhere. Everywhere I turn on TV, I open up Instagram, I scroll through TikTok, I'm looking at YouTube. All I see is LA Knight. Yeah. He's everywhere. And now when you scroll, like, speaking of YouTube, you look on there and now you're seeing, like, things are popping up in videos, like old promotions, his old promos, especially as Eli Drake, with the dummy, yeah, that gimmick, in Impact. Also his NWA run, pretty much the same character. Even like too, there's a workout video that came up on the PC Center, and that's probably what, only like 10 years old, if that. And there's a workout video that Trips does, and he's got, like, it's him in the front, and there's, like, probably, I think, 9 or 10 guys with him, and they're all doing things in cadence, like sit-ups, jumping jacks, all that stuff. And you can see, like, Triple H is counting out 1, 1, 2, whatever. And then you hear Triple H say, yeah, and you hear in the background, yeah. And then the camera pans out again. Look who's over here. Who's over in the corner? It's a young LA Knight. No, he's in the Performance Center videos. Like, what the hell? If you don't remember, too, maybe a year or two back, Ric Flair was doing these commercials. He'd be there in his robe, he'd be in the ring, and someone was announcing somebody, and he was toting insurance, right? A couple weeks ago, maybe like more than like a month ago, I turn on the TV. I don't know if it was SmackDown, Raw, whatever the hell I was watching. I look up and there's LA Knight in the middle. Who's in the middle of the ring toting insurance? LA Knight, yeah. What? Like, are you kidding me? And then, not for nothing, if you really want to see, like, back footage on the cock, and on YouTube, if you search wrestling or LA Knight, now they're showing, if you think back to CM Punk when he was feuding with Nash, when they were having their little rivalry, and the whole thing, Paul was involved, Triple H was involved, they got to try to keep him apart, there's a security guard in one of the pictures trying to keep Punk back. Who's a security guard? L.A. Knight, yeah. The guy was everywhere. He was everywhere, and he was right in front of them, right under their noses the whole time. If you're WWE, you have to realize that you dropped the ball once on this guy. Let him go. You got him back. And I talked about this in one of the first segments when we were talking about the SummerSlam, the Slim Jim SummerSlam Battle Royal. This whole thing where the rumors are Vince is saying because he's too old. Okay, so let's talk about a couple guys who are over 40. Edge, Bobby Lashley, your current Money in the Bank holder, Damian Priest, Shayna Baszler. Like, we can just keep going. There's plenty of these guys who are in their late 30s, early 40s who are getting the nod and getting a run. Finn is right there. He's going to be there soon too. But we're going to look at LA Knight and say, nah. No, you look at LA Knight and you go, yeah. You put a rocket to this guy's back and you let him go. He's one of the reasons. People have not been eating out of a wrestler's hand. I mean, you can say Seth Rollins, MJF, guys over in AEW as well. Like, if you're looking at the whole landscape of wrestling, even, Impact has a couple of guys that really kind of bait the audience and get them going and have them rolling with them. But there's one guy right now. When that music hits, when that hits, the crowd is on their feet. The pop is enormous, and they're hanging on every word this guy's saying, whether he's insulting someone, cutting a promo of what he's going to do in the ring, or just talking about how great he is. Everyone is hanging off every word and eating right out of the palm of his hand. LA Knight is probably WWE's one shot at getting back into getting And again, they're never really going to go back to the Attitude Era. They can't. You can't. You don't have the Austins. You don't have the Rocks. You don't have the Takers. You don't have the Canes. I can go on and on and on. You don't have the Edges. You don't have those guys anymore. Are the guys that they have now charismatic? Absolutely. Can they do what they did in the Attitude Era nowadays? Absolutely not. So if you're thinking about it, really, LA Knight is Paul. Whatever happens with this whole Vince McMahon thing, you know, he's out of commission right now with his surgery. He's getting subpoenaed. The FCC is involved. Whatever, what have you. Okay. Let's say 2 months down the road, Vince goes on another long, long, long hiatus. Okay. Here's Paul. Here's Nick Khan looking at each other, looking across on a table. What are we going to do? How do we bring WrestleMania 40 is coming up? What are we doing? We're already almost into January. I'll tell you right now, you got to hear right now. I'll tell you on August 4th, 2023, look back at this episode. I'm telling you right now, regardless of what happens, whether he wins a belt or not, your 2024 Royal Rumble winner is going to be LA Knight. Yeah, absolutely. It's no doubt. It's a no-brainer. How could you not? I mean, obviously he's on SmackDown. So the only way to get him over to Raw to challenge for a title that he can actually win and not get jobbed to with Roman Reigns still having that belt, he has to win the Rumble before the draft. And he has to come over and he has to pick the World Heavyweight Championship. Because hopefully Roman's entrenched in whatever he's doing. And LA Knight's like, look, I'm not dealing with that crap. I'm coming over here. I'm going to beat your ass. I'm taking your belt. Yeah. Dummy. Yeah. The catchphrases, if you take a look when they just released their quarterly sales, the number one merch seller for the month of July, only one guy, L.A. Knight. Yeah. The guy's outselling the Bloodline. He's outselling Roman Reigns. What does that tell you? The iron is white effing hot. You need to strike now. And if the ball gets dropped, it's such a shame and it's such a disservice to LA Knight, to the WWE fans. And it's just really, it sucks. It's such a bad look for upper management, whether it's obviously, you know, Triple H has the final say in a lot of creative stuff. I'm sure Nick Khan has a say. And for right now, obviously Vince has a hand in things. But if you're smart, like I already started mapping it out for you. We started talking about SummerSlam. You have him win your Battle Royal. Do you have him go over for the US title? Sure. Put the strap on him for a couple months. Have him donkey it up at a Survivor Series in some stupid gimmick match. Have him get rid of it. Coast through December. Boom. Rumble season. Here we are. Let's go. Put the rocket on him. Light the fuse. Let it go. Does he win at Mania? You put that belt on him at Mania in Philly at 40. You guys, I mean, again, if you're a wrestling fan, listen, if you're a casual wrestling fan, you know who LA Knight is. You know his catchphrases. Yeah, dummy, yeah. You know. You hear everyone talking about it at work. You hear everyone talking like him, acting like him. Does he talk like a little bit like The Rock? A lot like The Rock? Absolutely. But you hear it. And that's the point. And that's what WWE needs. When I was in high school, The Rock was my guy. I had The Rock glasses. I had The Rock shirts. I was walking around calling guys jabroni, know your role, doing the whole Rock voice, all the mannerisms, the whole nine. I was in the locker room playing varsity football, talking all the trash, dressing guys down. But because that's what you need. That's what you want. I'm sorry, but we're in a culture. I get it. Like, you know, everyone's got to, but you need to have levity. You need to have laughter. And everyone needs to kind of just accept that, like, it's jokes. It's just jokes. And someone like LA Knight is a throwback to The Rock. Yes. Throwback to the Attitude Era. Absolutely. Put him in there right now. Have him win a belt. Have him go to Mania. Win a Rumble. WWE is right back in the smack of, like, hosting. LA Knight is one of those guys that can go and host SNL. You can put him on the Today Show. You can put him on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Put him on CBS. Put him on ABC. Put him on ESPN. Roman and Heyman were just on ESPN because Roman is Roman, right? But you can put him anywhere. LA Knight is so charismatic. I don't give two rats that he's 40 something years old. Who cares? That should even put more onus on you to use him now. Strap him in for 4 years. Ride him till he's 45. You're doing it to Bobby Lashley. You're about to regroup the Hurt Business around a 45-year-old Bobby Lashley. You kidding me? 45, 46-year-old Bobby Lashley. Edge is out here starting to talk about retirement. He's still out here wrestling. Not so much now, but he was. It goes back to what I talked about in, you know, the two segments prior, like about Vince. He's out of touch. Get what you get and use it. These guys know. You don't think LA Knight knows? He wakes up every morning. Man, I hope today's the day. I hope today I walk into creative and I walk into our walkthrough meetings. And today they're telling me I'm going over. I'm getting the belt. I'm going to win the Rumble. I'm going to win Mania. I get my time to shine. That's all the guy needs. All you got to do is give him a good 8-9 month run, if that. Have him win the Rumble. Go to Mania. Walk out with the title. Give him till SummerSlam. Drop it out to somebody. LA Knight's still going to do what he does until he can't do it anymore. But giving him that title run solidifies him as a staple in the company. It solidifies him as a staple, as a superstar, and as a legit contender anytime he steps into the ring. So, with that being said, take one more commercial break. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up. Talk to you on the flip side. What's going on, guys? John Anthony, Chair Shot Sports. Welcome back. So just want to take this opportunity to thank you guys for being patient. Obviously, we've been away for a little while. Life happens, kids happen, jobs happen, all that good stuff. But it's good to be back. Good to be back on the airwaves, talking to you guys about wrestling and any other sport that we want to talk about. We'll be coming back to you guys on a weekly basis. My plan is next week. Our episode right now, what I'm looking at is we want to talk about, obviously, the fallout from SummerSlam, what the results are, where we're going to go from there, kind of what the storylines are looking like setting up into Payback in September in Pittsburgh. Also, talking about All In, the matches that are probably going to start to materialize over the next week or two. There's only 2 weeks left until that happens, so we got to get on that level. And then also for all you fantasy football players and, people that take part in that as well, as someone who runs the league, myself, we'll be breaking down, the divisions in each division in each conference, talking about those, what teams look good, what teams, look like the favorites and what players look like the ones to pick, early on. So again, thank you so much. I appreciate you guys being patient. It's good to be back. So for Chair Shot Sports, this is John Anthony. We'll talk to you soon. Toodles.